Blog Talk Radio.
General Quarters, Security Condition 3.
GQ, Security 3, sir. General Quarters 3, intruder alert. GQ 3, intruder alert.
Well, I wouldn't exactly say intruder, but he does such a great job. I'm not going to complain. He's an excellent doorman. Good evening and welcome once again to Madame Perry Salon, the podcast with more celebrities than the inauguration. I am your host and cruise director, Madame Perry, or Jennifer Perry, or in the British world, I'm Jennifer Maudette Perry with the mods. But doesn't matter what you call me, I am thrilled to welcome you once again to Madame Perry Salon. And to start off, I need to thank everybody who's been listening, who's been subscribing on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher. I am so grateful, and for all the nice comments that you send about the guests that have been on, because every time you follow or subscribe to Madame Perry Salon, it helps me continue with getting so many excellent guests and also to get sponsors, too, to help us keep going, and I really appreciate that as well. So thank you if you're listening live tonight on June 14th, and you see that little pink box that says follow on Blog Talk Radio. I wish you'd click on that and follow. If you remember, I got to tell you, we have a discount for listeners, or actually for anybody, whether you listened last night or not. Last night our guest was Denny Tedesco, son of guitarist Tommy Tedesco, who was one of the members of the Wrecking Crew musicians, famous session musicians who were pretty much on every record you ever listened to from the 50s, 60s, and 70s, only it wasn't their name on it. It might have said the Beach Boys or Sonny and Cher or the Monkees or the Association or somebody, but they played for everybody or they played as everybody else. But the movie was called The Wrecking Crew, documentary by Denny Tedesco, and he said last night, anyone listening, anyone interested that wants to go to his website, which is WreckingCrewFilm.com, and order anything on there, the DVD, which has 6 extra hours, 2 of interviews. And also on there, he's got Cher. Cher even came on the documentary to talk about her work with them, Nancy Sinatra, and a lot of other people. He will give a discount. All you have to do, I don't know how much, but he said just type in the promo code Father's Day. So go on there, WreckingCrewFilm.com, Father's Day, and you will get a discount there. Also, let's see, who else have we had that people want to know about? Well, you know what? Coming up soon, next week, we have Joe Vitale, drummer, songwriter, extraordinaire, and that'll be next Wednesday. Also, if you were listening a few weeks ago, Athena Bass was on. And Athena Bass, she's a drummer for the band. Here's my seat partner up here, Duffy Odom. Athena Bass, who all her material says she's the younger sister of Tommy Lee. And she was on the show, what was it called, Duffy? Ex-Wives of Rock? I kept calling it Rockstar, Ex-Wives, but it's Ex-Wives of Rock.
Rock Icons, Ex-Wives,
something like that, but Ex-Wives of Rocks. Well, anyway, she's going to be coming back. She says she had such a good time. She's going to be coming back later in the summer because her fragrance, candle and bath product line, Athena Roma, is being taken to new heights. She's got a new partner, and so she's going to come back with that. I can't wait to hear about it. And she is also a great, hard-hitting metal drummer. But tonight is even more exciting. Everything gets better and better on this. As you know, if you've been listening a long time, you know Duffy Odom, longtime actor in Atlanta on TV shows like In the Heat of the Night. He did a couple of years on Comedy Central co-hosting or doing a show with Fred Willard, and Too Many Things, Too Many Words to Mention. Soon we'll have a new book out, and we'll be plugging that. But for right now, Duffy Odom, I'm glad you're here. Duffy, are you excited about tonight's show like I am?
Yay! Okay. How many times have I seen the name Will Lawrence? I'm telling you, I have watched What the Fuck many, many times. You know, I think you have to watch it at least 3 or 4 times a year to get everything that's in the thing. And still you don't know. You have to listen and learn and believe, and it's still a wonderful experience. And Deirdre, Will's wife,
yes,
is truly radiant. She's a mystic, a poet. I've watched many of her videos, and I am very interested in their book, and I would like to have it. Really like to see it and read it and have it on my table next to my bed so I can.
Well, somebody's going to get it. I know. Uh-huh. Well, they're going to be in just a minute. I think they're still talking to Mr. Sulu at the door, but they're going to be in here in just about one minute or less.
I first saw
What the Bleep Do We Know. I was waiting for my husband to pick me up in Decatur because I rode the public transportation from downtown to the station, and I would wait in this little Asian coffee shop in Decatur off the square, and they would show it sometimes there just in the afternoon, and that's where I first saw it. And I thought, this is why everybody loves it. But anyway, so tonight we don't only have Will Arntz, creator of What the Bleep Do We Know, we also have his gorgeous wife, who's, as you said, a poet, mystic, and author, guide, Deirdre Haidt. And so, come on out there here now. Please welcome to Madame Perry's Salon, Deirdre Haidt and William Arntz. Welcome to Madame Perry's. Come on in and get comfortable.
Yay!
So happy to be here.
Yeah, me too. I got my feet propped up and everything.
Yes.
Oh, great.
That's exactly what I wanted to do. It's a little dim, I couldn't tell, but you got lots of fluffy cushions. We had our fluffer come in and fix them, so I'm so glad that you're here both. So, first of all, thanks for being here. We are honored to have you, and the people are very excited to hear about this. People have been sharing this information a lot that never share a lot of shows, but they've been sharing. Every time I turn around, Susan Fagno shared this event. So people are excited about you guys, just like we are. And congratulations, you have a brand new book called the Not So Little Book of Surprises.
Mm-hmm.
And so, first of all, let's introduce both of you for people who are just getting to know you. Starting with Deirdre, Deirdre Haidt, you are a poet and a mystic, an author. So tell us a little bit more about you for people who are just meeting you.
Yes. Well, first of all, thank you so much, Madame Perry. I'm so excited to be here today. And as I said, I grew up, spent some early years in North Carolina. So a mystic, what is a mystic? A mystic is someone who lives in two different realities at the same time, the physical reality and the reality of the unseen worlds. I call that the light. And that's the reality where the angels live, the ascended masters. It's a reality of wisdom and a reality of consciousness. So I see it as my place to be a messenger, like a mouthpiece, between these two worlds. And I'm really here to share that and answer questions and help you be able to access that incredible world yourself.
Oh, that's marvelous. I was also going to say, I've seen your pictures. Whatever you're doing, I want to do exactly what you're doing because you are so gorgeous. So whatever you're doing, You know, it's just like, what has this woman got going on? Now, also, though, you were, now you grew up, you were always an artist. You know, I've seen you described as an artist and visionary. You've written poetry as well as conversing, you know, in the mystical worlds, being a mystic. But you were also a ballet dancer and choreographer. And as I understood, the famous Robert Joffrey recognizes you.
He recognized me. That's correct.
Yeah,
he was very, very, very supportive. He invited me to New York. I studied with him. But, you know, the universe always has a plan for us we may not have. So at that time I had an injury, a very serious knee injury that was inoperable. And so I could not do a full-on ballet repertoire. So he encouraged me to become a choreographer, and I began to create dances that were inspired by the mystical world. I used, this is like 30-something years ago, back before anyone was doing this, I used Tibetan music and Indonesian music from around the world, and I had a company called Celebrations of the Sacred. I also became the director of the Memphis Ballet Company back in Memphis, Tennessee, and I started a program for inner-city schools giving scholarships to children to study dance. And I taught in, I set up a whole dance program so they could then perform and come study for free. So that was a whole incredible, wonderful life, and it was a spiritual life. It changed when I got married. I had my kids. We moved to California, I was on several boards of directors. I'm on the board of State Street Ballet here in Santa Barbara. So dance is always my number one love.
Well, can I ask you this? And I realize I'm not very familiar with, you know, the world of ballet and choreography as you are, and being a mystic. But I wonder, do you think the fact that as a dancer and choreographer, of course you have to be in great physical shape, you have to take care of your body and treat it well and feed it well, and do you think that there's some kind of, is there a connection between how well you care for your body as an, because you're an athlete and a performer is this way, and you're also expressing the emotions and the stories and the work that you're dancing and performing about. Do you feel like that connected well to or connected into your world as a mystic?
Oh, absolutely. I always loved dance, and when I danced, it was, for me, a time of prayer. I was in prayer from the beginning I went of going and holding on to the bar through class, through rehearsal. For me, personally, it was communing with the greater presence. And when I would dance, many times I would literally go out, like I would stop dancing and I would not remember dancing. I just wouldn't even remember it. I would merge so much with these other energies that they would come through me, and people would start crying. And I was young, you know, my 20s. I was like, why are they crying? I don't understand it. What did I do? I really had no idea of what I was really channeling. But I knew that was my my life and my, you know, I was devoted, completely devoted to dance. And it was completely a mystical experience for me.
Magnificent.
I've seen your What is Radiance videos, and it's on two or three places. I think it's on your website, it's on YouTube, and your foot is way up in the air. I don't know what kind of injury you had, but it looks like you're in pretty good shape.
Well,
you're in pretty good shape, and you look great.
Oh, well, thank you. I'll tell you, I'm so blessed. People never guess my age. It's not anything that I do or I think about. I'm not one of these people that is obsessed with how I look. It's just not ever – I want to look nice, but it's not my first order of the day. But I will tell you, the radiance energy, the energy of soul and spirit, of light, when you tap into it, meaning you can open up these gateways inside of yourself, and when you do, this light is a light of rejuvenation. And I have seen so many people do retreats and afterwards go, oh, my God, I look 10 years younger. It's not me. I'm not doing it. It really is the presence that creates life, brings that health, and brings that ability for the cells to rejuvenate and be in a healthy state. As I said, I wish I can't take credit. I'm the messenger. But that's what you're saying, and so thank you. It means I'm doing my job for the big guy. I'm doing my job.
Yes, you are. Well, for the big guy, you are. However, we got another big guy in the room here with us,
yes.
And I'd like to introduce him as well. Yes, your husband, and wow. Now this is what I call a power couple. Okay, William Arntz. Again, if you don't mind, let me just give them this little bit about you. It's so you both have such exciting bios. You started your career as a research laser physicist, which I understand means you worked on Star Wars type high energy lasers. Then you moved to software. You wrote AutoSys, which is an automated job control system, which most Fortune 500 companies use. And then after you sold that business, retired, and then decided to make your next career as a filmmaker, creating, producing, and then directing What the Bleep Do We Know, which is such a popular film, and so many people love it. And if anyone hasn't seen it, you got to get out. It's exploration, or it's described as an exploration of spirituality, quantum physics, neurology, and, I love this, outrageous possibility, and it's an international hit. It's in books and a film in several different languages. So, Will, or should we call you William or Will?
You can call me whatever you want, but one of those two I'll probably respond to.
Okay, Will.
Okay.
You will?
Will.
Hi. See, I responded.
Oh, yeah. Oh, good.
Okay. All right. Well, welcome. And what wonderful and magnificent lives. You know how they always say that some people, you feel like you don't use your talents or your brain. People don't get out and make the most of what they have. That cannot be said of you and Deirdre. So tell me about moving from being a research laser physicist to a filmmaker.
Before I was a research laser physicist, in high school, my friends and I grew up in a little cow town in Pennsylvania. There was nothing to do, so my friends and I, we would make movies to entertain ourselves. And I always really liked that, but then, of course, I went to college, and I'm thinking about a career, so I take the science, which I really love the science, too. But I always wanted to make movies. But then, you know, after that job, as a physicist, which I enjoyed, but after a couple years of that, I'd had enough. So then I started traveling around and eventually landed in computers, and I did that. And then after I did two computer companies, software companies, sold them. And then at one point after I sold them, I thought, you know, I've always wanted to make movies. And, well, I kind of figured I was never going to, but I actually have enough money now I can make a little documentary. So I decided I was going to make a little documentary about science and spirituality. And in the interim, I had been studied with a couple of teachers and you know, for the last 25 years previous to selling the companies, I was in spiritual practice. So I said, I'm going to make a movie about science and spirituality. And it started off as just a little, you know, kind of just a little $50,000 documentary that I was going to. And $6 million later, the movie was done. So I sort of got carried away with it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, laugh all the way away from the bank,
okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So I made What the Bleep, kind of the joke was that, you know, I had two people I made it with, so we were collaborating. But since I was paying for it, I got the final say. The kind of the joke was, it just so happened that I had some talent at it, luckily, and ended up actually editing the movie myself because my editor quit. They said, oh, it's too complicated. I can't deal with it. And he quit. So I took over. But it was just something I had always wanted to do. And really, yeah, it is a different side of the fence because, you know, the physics and the computers, that's all logical left brain stuff. And, of course, movies are kind of like right brain, you know, more like Deirdre's world of mystical thinking and whatnot. But it just, it all came together, and what the bleep do I know?
Yeah.
So when your editor, when your editor quit, did you say, or said it was too hard? You have to forgive me on this one, please. But did you say, hey, man, it's not laser science, okay? What's your problem? So, okay, that's my one corny one I'm getting out of the way. Okay.
That was a good one.
I could tell you what I really did say, but, you know, people might be offended, so I don't want to.
Oh, that's okay.
But I said something that was rather, let's just say, racy, and that he quit. And this was a, you know, A-list Hollywood editor, a professional. And, you know, it was the intercutting of the interviews with animation, with a dramatic story. And you don't really, you know, no one really intercuts those three things. And so I think he just, and some of the science was fairly thick, you know, the quantum mechanics and stuff. And just he worked at it for about 3 months, and then he just went cross-eyed and said, I can't do it anymore. And I said, then I turned to Betsy Chassie, who I was making the film with. I said, well, Betsy, what are we going to do? And she goes, well, I guess you're the editor now, dude. So that was that. So,
well, it came out expertly. It's an A-list looking movie. You have stars. You have experts in the fields of quantum physics. You have the best of mystics in the field. Who is the woman? J.K.
J.Z. Knight.
Yeah.
She's channeling Ram, and her
own experience. And the stars that are in it. Marley Matlin is in it. Barry Newman is in it. It looks great, and the animation is perfect. When you have all of that, it's got to be very well edited, and it's such a smooth movie. But it's so complicated. You want to watch it over and over again, and it's so pleasing to the eye. It doesn't bother you to come back to it.
When I was editing,
it's really well
done. I was conscious that I said I want to edit this movie that you have to watch it three times to get it. But of course, the trick to that is you don't want to make it so dense that the first time through people get lost. So that was something, we did a lot of test screenings to test how far can we push people, because there's a certain point at which you push people, and then when they don't understand, they just give up, and you don't ever want to have people give up partway through a movie because then you lost them. And this is where, you know, using my psychic abilities, you'd sit in these test screenings, and you could just feel when the audience is starting to lose it, and then you'd say, okay, we got to trim that back a little bit. And so that was the process.
Well, it seems like from the film, it's just a stepping stone into Deirdre's film area. How did you two meet and get together with this? And at some point, perhaps we might talk about the foundation for Radiance, but how did the two of you get together and come up with ideas of your own?
Well, when I was making What the Bleep, I was in my 50s when I made What the Bleep, and I had never been married. I never really, it was something that I didn't really want to do, number one, and number two, I never met someone I wanted. But I had this notion when I was making the film, I said, you know, when this film gets out there, this is, I'm going to, because of the film, I'm going to meet my mate. And I really thought that. And
okay.
Then, go ahead, Deirdre, you can tell the rest of the story.
Okay, I will. So then I lived in Topanga, and I was just recently going through a divorce. Young kids, and I saw the movie, and I said, oh, I have to meet the man that made this movie, because this movie completely validates what I do. And I've spent my whole life up against both my parents were research scientists in biochemistry and sociology. You know, I grew up in academia, and you know, my whole life I've been pushing uphill battle that there is another world or another reality. This is just as real, but I don't have the instruments to prove it to you, but I see it, and I live there, and I'm not crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just thrilled. I saw the movie, and I said, oh, I've got to meet this man who made this. I just have to. And they were doing, a screening where Will was going to be speaking in Santa Monica. And I was all ready to go, and I was all so excited to go. And then I couldn't go because I didn't have a babysitter. And my son was about 2 and a half, and my daughter was 7. And I couldn't go. And at the last minute, I gave up, and I said, I can't go. And I said, oh, well, there you have it. But I did. I saw the movie before. And then I was going to go when they had the Bleep conference, but I didn't get to go. So that was the beginning. And then probably 5 years later, I was doing a retreat, and Will showed up. There he was. And I said, I go, who are you? And he said, oh, I'm Ron.
Whoa.
And I go, you made it. And I said, oh, my gosh, that movie. And I told him everything about how I felt about the movie. And then there was that. You know, there was that definitely charisma there. But two things. One, he had come to the retreat, so that was, nothing was going to happen. And then two, I thought, well, that'll never work. Nothing could happen between us. I have two kids. He's been a bachelor his whole life. He's a physicist. I live in a mystical world. It could never work. And I kept saying that, but he convinced me otherwise. It took him some time, but he was stealth. and like I say, tell people, he pulled me down off the mountain. He won. I'm glad.
I'm the that'll never work guy.
So.
Yeah, so that'll never work. I just kept saying that over and over, shaking my head. That'll never work. This could never work. Oh, my God. It's a disaster waiting to happen.
Okay, see, this is movie material right here. This is movie. Well, listen, stop right now. Say, if you're listening live and you want to call in and talk to Deirdre and Will, the number is 646-716-9922. That's 646-716-9922, which is a toll-free call in the continental U.S., and we'd love, they would love to talk to you, so would we. So then let's get to your book. You two have a brand new book called The Not-So-Little Book of Surprises. You collaborated on this, so tell us all about it.
Madam Perry, let me ask you this question. Who do you think came up with the title?
Hmm.
Oh, Lord.
Let's see now. What the Bleep?
Was it you?
The Not-So-Little Book of Surprises.
So little.
Oh, yeah. Okay. It's not going to happen. Guy, I would think.
Yeah, the not going to happen.
Not so little. It's not so little.
That's a little,
yeah.
So,
okay.
Well, honey, tell them how we did this book.
Well, we did the book because Deirdre had been writing the story of her life for about 2 years and is still writing it. Look for that someday in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
So, but, you know, she wanted to get something out there. She was like, oh, God, I've written all this stuff. And she's been teaching for 10 years, and there's a stack of books with 10 volumes of her teachings that have been transcribed, probably about 2 volumes of poetry that she's written over the years. And I just got the notion, well, I could just go through that. I could pull out the quotes that I think are interesting. I could arrange them and associate pictures with them and just create a book. And it's very similar to actually making a documentary movie because you're going through transcripts, you're pulling out choice moments. So I kind of had the skill set for it. So I said, well, honey, you know, I think this is what I want to do. What do you think? And she said, well, okay, you can do it. I said, but there's one condition. She said, what's that? I said, don't get to see it until I'm done. And the reason for that is Deirdre is such a perfectionist that I would pull out like 3 quotes, and if I was to show it to him, she'd, well, I don't know if that quote is it. And, you know, the joke was if she had picked out the quotes, the book would be pink, and it would just be very beautiful and lovely. And, of course, I picked out the quotes that are rather edgy and kind of in your face. And when she finally, after 2 months of me doing that, she finally saw what I had done. She goes, oh, my God, we can't do this. I said, honey, you already agreed.
It's true. I have a side of me that's really in your face, no nonsense, just, you know, suck it up. This is what you have to do if you want to be enlightened. And I said to Will, I said, well, I don't want my first book. I don't want people to think I'm like, too tough, you know. You got to show the softer side. But he did a great job, and actually people love the wisdom in the book. And I do have a pink page. I lobbied for it. I said, okay, we can do this, but we have to have a pink page. And we have one, and it's really pretty. And I put a mystical dream. There's 2 mystical dreams in the book that I had that were very profound. So that's on the pink page.
So I put it together, and I did it, even though they were disparate quotes, like a movie, you know, you have all these interviews, you put them together so there's a through line, so there's continuity and sections. So I really set the book up like that, like you'll go into a section on the ego, then you go into the section on mindfulness, so then you'll go into a section on that, and they flow from one to another. And the backbone of the whole piece is this amazing poem called In the Honey Jars that Deirdre wrote a few years ago. And that's scattered throughout the book. So you have this sense of this unfolding epic poem that goes through the book. And so by the time you get to the end, it ends with the poem ending. So you really feel like you've watched or you've had this whole experience. So... you know, it's interesting the way it came out in that you can read it through like that, so the experience, or with some people, they use it like an oracle. They'll just take the book, they have it next to their bed. When they wake up in the morning, they open it. That's the page for the day, and then they read that and just hang with that thought all day. So that's – oh, and the other part of the I should mention is that's 2/3 of it, then – we wanted to have pictures, and Deirdre has a friend who she's worked with for years, Andre Balog, and he's an award-winning photographer and also an international concert violinist, of all things. And he has all these pictures on his website, and so we used his pictures throughout the book and his imagery. So it really is an art book in that it's the, you know, the words and poetry of Deirdre, the pictures and the digital art of Andre, and I'm just sort of the chef that cut it all up and put it together.
Okay. All right. Let me stop you right there just a minute. If you're just tuning in now to Madam Perry Salon Live, my guests tonight are these people are so much fun. Deirdre Hayes and William Arts. Deirdre Haidt is a mystic, a poet, dancer, choreographer. Because I got to say this, because this is very exciting to me. She is also an author, but she and her husband, she also has a foundation called the Radiant Healing Meditation Foundation, which I hope we get to find out about that before we're through. And her husband, William Arntz, went from being a research laser physicist to creating the film that so many millions of people around the world love, What the Bleep Do We Know? And now they have a new book together called The Not-So-Little Book of Surprises. And if you want to call in, the number is 646-716-9922, and their publicist told me that they will be having a giveaway, a book tonight. So I'm going to put everybody's name that wants to be in the drawing for the book, and together we'll see what happens. And we have also on the line from Atlanta, Georgia, my BFF, my co-writer in all adventures, Kenya Colbert.
Hi,
Kenya,
guys.
Welcome. Duffy's here.
Hi, Kenya.
Deirdre. Will.
Hi.
Hello. Hi, guys.
Hey, Kenya.
Hello, Duffy. Guys,
hey.
You're doing such a great job with this interview. So I had planned to just listen, but it was so much fun. I love Deirdre and William. I love you guys, your combination. It's so cute that I had to pick up the phone and call. You guys are just adorable.
Thank you.
But William, let me tell you this. You are so funny to me because you were like, she brought this, and then we got the art from this, from her friend, and I guess I'm just the chef. And I had the word in my head, and I thought you were going to say it. Wizard. I'm like, you're like the wizard with the one right now putting all this together.
He's totally a wizard. Oh my gosh, he's such a wizard. He really is. He'll backpedal and try to get out of that, but he's a wizard.
The wizard has to have something to work with. So, Deirdre, you give him the meat. Like he said, he's the chef. Like,
right.
You're giving him that meat. But, oh, my gosh, to just envision this and to put that together from the outside and just pick up a couple of things and say, we're going to do this with it. And I love your pink page, Deirdre. I think it's so cute.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Could you tell us then, while Kenya's on here, too, what sparked you to write The Little Book of Surprises? Can you tell us about the concept of surprises? And then we want to know why surprises, as if we don't already know from hearing how you two got together, why surprises play such an important role in your work. And then once you get through that, let's revisit this honey aspect that keeps, this honey motif in the book.
Absolutely.
So,
go. Well, first of all, the work... The messages in the book are a combination of messages that I was given really over a lifetime from my meetings with the Masters of Light, the Archangels, the Ascended Masters, different prophets that literally show up in my room, show up in a dream, speak to me. And what they say is so profound, and they were always said, please share this information, please share this information. And I feel that I just have a duty to share the information because they are so wise and they can see beyond our limited world. So the messages in the Not-So-Little Book of Surprises are from these masters and from my own experience, bumbling through life, having dark times and finding a light and having grace come and getting over it. And what did I learn? And how do we get through these times where you think I won't make it? And so I put in these little tidbits, these steps and things that you can do that are really simple meditations and steps for a morning practice. We put in there the masters, they always want us to think, you know, like they say the outer world is a holographic picture of your mind. You are separate from every other mind while you are a unique ray of light. And this is the paradox. While you are separate from every other mind, you are at the same time one with every other mind, every other thing in the universe. There is no light like your ray. Your ray is so important and so needed on the planet right now. It is not possible to have a ray that is not needed. And this came straight from the ascended beings. They said it to me this way. I put it in the book.
Wow.
They're saying every one of you is needed. You have incarnated at this time to get this planet, to get this planet home. And you are needed. So don't ever think you're not. Every little corner, everybody has a little job to bring light, and it's going to take all of us.
Yes. Yes. I can say yes. Yes.
So that's one little piece of the book.
Okay.
Beautiful. Now, to answer the second part of your question, the whole thing about surprise, that happened because I was looking at all these quotes, and I'm looking at them, and part of what I realized I was picking was the fact that the quotes, a lot of the things are surprising, like the thing that Deirdre just read from the book. I mean, you don't really hear people walking down the street saying that. I mean, it's really these mystical insights are surprising. And so I started thinking, wow, these are really surprising. And then I remember the research I did with Bleep, what a surprise does to you biochemically. Basically, the short answer of what it does is it increases your neuroplasticity, which is the ability for the brain to rewire. And when you think about transformation is you're different before and after. So part of that differing thing is your brain rewires because you're now different. So a surprise is really a doorway to transformation. And once that kind of hit, I'm like, oh, it's the little book of surprises.
Mm.
And so that's how the whole concept of surprise happens. And then I told Deirdre that. I said, yeah, surprise. She goes, oh, that's great. That's perfect. And then it's like, okay, it's off to the races.
And it's the not-so-little book.
the not-so-little book happened because originally it was going to be a small book, a 5x7 book.
Yes.
It was going to be the little book of surprises. And once I did a prototype of about 50 pages, and I was about ready to send it off to the printer, and these photographs of Endre's are so amazing, so beautiful. I thought, you know, I want to see what this looks like in a bigger format. So we first printed the little book of surprises, and then the not-so-little book of surprises, which is, you know, a big coffee table book. And, of course, once we got the prototypes back, we took one look at the bigger version and said, well, that's the book.
That's it.
Okay.
And I love it. People say that it's like a children's book for adults because it's a coffee table book. It's the quality of the paper, the printers just went over the top in the quality. And every page is this stunning photography. And then you have the message, the inspiration, the wisdom, and the guidance. So there's no other book like this. I mean, and true to form with Will, the wizard, he created a book that's never been done. There's no book like this, like there was no, what the bleep. So I'm very, very blessed to have such a talented wizard husband.
Congratulations, guys.
Yeah,
you guys
I get the hot wife,
crazy.
Yeah.
You behave yourself.
They are. They really are. So, guys, I don't know if you know of India Arie, but she has this song called Beautiful Surprise. And this is about finding
that song.
Do you really? Me too.
Love it. And I love India Arie. I love her. I saw her play in Los Angeles.
Did you really? Oh, my gosh. I saw her here. I love her too. But you guys remind me of that Beautiful Surprise song because, you know, the song is all about how you don't know. You're not planning to find what you find. But when you find it, it's so beautiful. But the surprise part that William was referring to is a part of the beauty of it all. It's like you found something that you never could, like you said, this is never going to work. Not in a million years.
Never going to work. And I found, I don't know about you, but I found that the ahas and the great, like you have an awareness and the wonderment that comes, it's always a surprise. I know for me, when I had my awakening, you know, you can say, oh, okay, this could be what it's like, but you never know. You never expect what it's going to be like, and it's a surprise. It's always a surprise.
That's that part that takes your breath and makes it beautiful. And then you do something so unique, like create a book that has never been done before. That's pretty cool. I'm impressed, guys.
Well, thank you. And I really wanted this book to be for all of you and all of your listeners to be able to experience what I've been gifted to have. So that you can have your own surprises and you can have your own awakening and hope and purpose, because now is a very unique time in our history, and there are so many millions of beautiful souls that are here to really transform our world. So I just would love to be a drop of dew on your tree.
I think you are more than that. And you know, too, Kenya, Kenya's not only my best friend of 20 years, but she also has a podcast called Everything Relationship. She's a life coach and one of the most loving people I know. But she has Everything Relationship, and I always say it's the one podcast where adults can talk with different viewpoints and discuss with different viewpoints, and everyone has respect for each other, and it's a grown folks discussion done. Yeah, with civility and love. So I know I can feel what her mind is turning through right now. If you could, you know, one thing I wanted to know is what are you laughing at me? And by the way, I love India Ari too, even though she stole from me, okay? So, Kenya.
She really did, guys. But it was a good thing, though. You got to tell them what she took from you.
She stole my
drummer. Come on, I want to hear.
Okay, that's all. There was a guy, her drummer, Forrest Robinson, great drummer, from South Georgia, like she is. No, I think he's from Tennessee and she's from South Georgia, but he was my drummer for my jazz combo. After TLC, he was with me, and then he went to India RE. So I'm just saying, you know, I'm just going to say she didn't really steal him. I was on break and kind of gave him it gave another drummer a chance to play with me. That's all. But I still love her. Actually, I do. I think she's wonderful. I just had to tease her about that. Well, you stole my drummer. So, now I know everybody, when, you know, with everything you do, there are different, sometimes people interpret things differently. Like I've said something recently that, I don't know if I was telling Kenya or my husband, I said, you know, before there were music videos, one thing about music was that when you listened to it, you had your own interpretation maybe, or your own pictures that went with the music and the story. Although sometimes with books, you know, I like it when people have, you know, you're going to come away with what the author gave you, but maybe something different or something more special that even the author or the creator intended. So I'm sure that you and Will each have an idea. If you could leave readers with, you know, Kenya, this is just so much fun. I want you guys to come back. I wish this was a pajama party and we could just keep talking all night. But if you could leave, I mean, if you could leave readers with a takeaway from the not so little book of surprises, what would that be?
Will, you want to start?
Well, the takeaway, the thing is that I'm going to read a page that really my favorite. I get a different favorite du jour, but this one keeps coming back. And the thing is that it's hopeful. And because, you know, there's a lot of, you know, you follow the news, there's a lot of, you know, odd things going on in the world today. But let me just read here, page 113. All the beings of light say, if we can get enough men and women on the ground to hold the light, we're not even talking about enlightenment because it's so misunderstood, has so much baggage. Let's just forget about that. we could just get enough people holding the light of love, 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 not perfection, just the practice of love, if we can get enough people doing this, then when the rocket ship planet Earth begins to take off, when she shakes, she will only lose a few pieces of herself, and she will make it through the age of the chrysalis. She will survive. She will become her new frequency. The human soul will make it. We will make it. The oceans will come back. The two lions that are left will multiply. We'll get them back. We'll get the streams back. The forests will grow again, and they, too, will come back.
Oh, my God.
That's wonderful.
Oh, gosh. Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, we
that's
need this
wonderful.
Book. Everybody needs this book.
Thank you so much, Will. And that's, I'm just so humble and so very, very filled with gratitude for all of you listening. Because I go into these states where the great being, the great vision, can see and speaks and gives this very important hope for us. And it's worthless if no one hears it. So thank you. Today I'm moved that you're listening. Thank you so much. That's all I want to leave you
yeah.
with. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. And I've got
beautiful.
People out there. Susan Vanya was listening, and her boyfriend, Will Hirsch, they're out there listening, just saying, you know, we're listening. We don't even want to call in. We just want to sit and enjoy. This is exactly what we needed tonight. So thank you, Susan and Will, and everyone else who's listening live. And actually, you know what, Kenya, the last time you and I had dinner, I was on the way to meet you for dinner when I got the call from their publicist, from Mara. About says I got to tell you, I've got something really good for you this time. I said everything you got is good. She goes, oh, you're gonna love this best. Which she'll be about, Will and Deirdre, and then I get there, I said, Kenya, I just got this call. So we knew you were gonna be special. Well, now while you're here too, Deirdre, you're the founder of Radiance Healing and Meditation. I'd like to know what you do there. What do you teach people? I know I've been told that you teach people to harness their own inner wisdom and healing potential. Tell us what you do, and also about these retreats, the retreats that you have.
Yes, I would love to. Thank you. And you can. I'll just let you know and everyone to know that I have a free meditation of radiance. That I just finished. I'm so proud of it. Betsy Chassie, who made What the Bleep Do We Know with Will, made it with me. And it is an energetic transmission from, it's an activation of light from Source. And that's for you. It's free. Just come visit me at DeirdreHaid.com. And that's DeirdreHaid. Even if you spell it wrong, you'll get me. it'll come to me, and you'll have that you get to experience that. So what radiance is radiance is the energy of your soul, where your soul and the light of all that is of God are one, completely one. And there is a way, I was taught by the ascended beings, that there is a way for you to tap into the light of your soul, where it is one with all that is, for you to rejuvenate, refresh, and fill yourself with your potential. And that's what radiance is, and we need that right now. Like, we are so bombarded with stresses, with getting knocked off course of our purpose, with feelings of ennui, that this is really the place where you can find that rejuvenation and that strength that comes from your inner radiance. So my work is to activate and initiate for you a way so that you can open up to that place inside of you that you have, that many times there's an obstacle or a blockage to you feeling it. We come in and we just clear it away. And on the retreats, we go deep into the energy. I bring in this these frequencies of energy. It's very blissful, very ecstatic, very healing. It's like water kind of pouring over you. We do exercises with each other to heal our traumas. And then we set intentions and goals, and we bring light in to manifest those goals. So we have a lot of fun in retreat. This fall, I'm going to be on a tour. Will and I, we're going to be going around the country doing mini retreats. So also that's on my website and in our social media. We'd love anyone to come along and join us and come up and introduce yourself. The more the merrier.
Wonderful.
Ah, fantastic. Wonderful. You will be coming to the southeast corner of the country, I hope.
Well, we're planning on coming. We're all working on it. Mm-hmm. So coming to Orlando, okay. We're absolutely working on that. I'd love to meet you in person. That would be just awesome.
Oh, we would too. Kenya?
Yes.
Kenya, I don't know if I lost. Yes, how about that?
No,
if they make it to Atlanta, or they're going to make it to Orlando for sure. Okay, we've got to meet them.
Road trip. It sounds like a road trip.
It's definitely a road trip. As a matter of fact, we're almost at the point of we're going to get the RV. I'm not kidding. Because we're like, well, we need to go here, and people want us to go there. And everybody's saying, well, you know, maybe you should just get an RV and go. And I was like, well, you know, I'm warming up to that idea. I want to meet everybody. And I just love people, and I love all of us getting together and bringing in that light together and that love. So, I don't know. I'm looking at the Radiance RV. I'm looking at it.
Wow.
I can see it like the kind of big country.
Yeah, exactly.
What was that, Kenya?
I was going to say that Jennifer has a way. Jennifer, you have a way. Can you hear me? I'm sorry.
Yes,
can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I hear you.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was going to say that I'm hanging with Jennifer, guys. I find myself all over the country, I promise you. She believes in just kind of grabbing. She'll, Kenya, let's go to such and such. And we're like, I'm Thelma and Louise. I'm like, oh, my God, let's go. And what happens there stays there. But in this case, we would love to come to you guys.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Actually,
we would love to see you.
Deirdre. Mm-hmm. Deirdre, you may be able to explain this to us better than we can. We haven't tried, but whenever Kenya, like I said, we've been friends a long time. Whenever we go on a real trip, lots of times we have plans. Oh, we have plans. Mm-hmm. We have things planned. And often nothing goes the way we planned it.
Right.
Except that we're, you know, hanging together. But everything goes totally opposite to how we planned. And yet it's always fantastic or memorable or has a purpose. It's like no matter what, it's like everything goes around different. And but it's great. It's beautiful. And also I've been saying that for a long time that I want to have a tour bus and just sort of go around the country because I'm an entertainment publicist and say, you know, have some of my clients on, other writers, musicians, artists, poets that I know, and we'll just sort of go around the country. Some will be on for a few cities and get off, others will get back on. It'll just be a rotating, rambling, movable feast.
I love that idea.
Me too.
And we need more of that because part of what, you know, in the not so little book of surprises, the ascended beings say, you know, they're telling us once the messages they gave me was it's time to gather. It's like you need to gather. You need to get your bodies together because when our bodies get together. Now, we can do great work over the phone, and we have this incredible ability to talk to people around the world. But when we get our bodies in one place and we go into prayer and we go into the energy work of bringing in the light of goodness, we create a term, there's an ancient Hebrew term called an Or HaMet. And an Or HaMet means the overlaying light. And the overlaying light is the light of the human soul, which is the most powerful light on this planet, in this dimension. And that comes from the ancient Hebrew text, which I've studied for 20 years. And that's what's needed. That's why we gather, so we can create this Or HaMet, this light to send out into the world. So I love that idea you have, D, do it. It's time to gather. It's our time. It's time to gather.
Thank you for saying it.
Yay!
Thank you.
I appreciate you saying
all
that
right.
Because I'm always saying the village. We are a village of people. We really should just bond together because we're greater together. So I
yes,
love
we
to
are.
Say, thank you.
It was great meeting you, Donnie.
Well, it's great meeting you,
okay.
And we just love being
all
here
right.
today. Thank you.
We have two, and Susan Vanyo and Will just sent a thing saying, oh, my gosh, thank you for the show. They just sent a message on Facebook. Thank you for the show. Also, too, everybody, remember, every bit of their social media, like the website for Deirdre is, like she said, Deirdre Hay, Deirdre Hade. But if you spell it wrong, it'll still come up right. Will is, not surprisingly, whatthebleep.com. And I will be sharing this. So I've been putting this episode out on Google Plus and Twitter and Reddit and Facebook and everywhere. And I will also be sharing their social media again and again and again because, you know, I consider myself the connector. If I find something mm-hmm. great, I want everybody to know about it. Mm-hmm. Also, don't forget, too, if you last night's show, the Wrecking Crew documentary, go ahead and go to Denny Tedesco's website, and you put in Father's Day for the promo code to get a discount. Next Wednesday, we have drummer Joe Vitale, who has played, not just a drummer, he's a multi-instrumentalist and a songwriter. He's played with Joe Walsh, Rick Derringer, Phil Keaggy, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, Pete Entwistle, Peter Frampton, and he is still playing to this day. So he's going to be here next Wednesday. And so definitely now, go out and get the book. Go on. You can probably, I'm sure you can find it at any good bookseller, or anywhere online, or on their websites. It is called
right,
the
also,
Not So Little Book
Madam
of
Perry,
Surprises.
Madam Perry, you can also go to our Book of Surprises
yes.
website. It's just bookofsurprises.com. We have a beautiful website, so you can go there too, and you can also reach Will and I through that bookofsurprises.com.
Fantastic. That is wonderful. So bookofsurprises.com, definitely. And, again, I'll be sharing also things, Deirdre's meditation, the Radiance Meditation. Did I get that right?
Yes.
I'm just so excited.
Thank you.
I'm just calling it, yeah, Radiance Meditation. Also, thanks to everybody who's been listening and sending messages. Daffy Odom, thanks for being here with me.
Yay.
Because I have just I forget everything. Kenya Colbert, my best friend, my partner on the road. And thank you for calling in. I knew you'd love this. I knew you would. And so,
Jennifer, I'm going to spill them for my show. I got to get them, okay? Please.
Oh, we'd love to be on your show.
Kenya.
I would love to have you guys.
Kenya, Mara's information. We'd love to be on your show, honey. That would be awesome.
Thank you, guys.
Okay.
Love
and, of course, I got their publicists are giving away a copy of the book, the Not-So-Little Book of Surprises. And so if you messaged me or called, you're entered to win it. If you messaged that you were listening, and I will give it to, I guess I'll give it to the folks, fine people at Steve Allen Media. And I tease my best friend Kenya about stealing some of my guests, but it's always a compliment every time she does. So, hey, Will and Deirdre, you are welcome back anytime you want, and we love you, and everybody out there, just go out and be nice to yourself and nice to somebody else, and come back.